Hello, RPN listeners. Good evening. Welcome to Letter from America. That was Craig and Charlie running through the fields of barley. Not unlike Theresa May, she ran through the fields of wheat. Anywho, as I say, welcome to Letter from America, page 2. Let me say up front here, if anybody wants to ring in, talk about anything, you're more than welcome. In fact, I'd be glad if you did. Of course, the number is 800-313-9443. Now, tonight, I'm going to have a crack at talking about, there's been a big, one of the biggest stories across the water, is this anti-Semitism carry on in the British Labour Party. But I'd like to just preempt that with a few things. There's a couple of things I want to address here. Been looking for certain things on the web, you know, things that I'd wanted to talk about, one of which was an article that happened, an incident that happened a few years ago when David Cameron was the Tory Prime Minister. I think this took place in 2012. And a Labour backbencher by the name of Tom Watson, who incidentally happens to be one of the leading figures in this current anti-Semitism debacle in the Labour Party. He got up at Prime Minister's question times. He was granted permission by the Speaker to ask a question. And it was to do with the famous pedo Jimmy Savile and his relationship with the former Prime Minister Edward Heath. Now, I couldn't find the clip. It's disappeared. Ah, fancy that, eh? Now, I can't remember his question word for word, but basically he asked David Cameron something about a former Prime Minister being involved in paedophilia with Jimmy Savile. Now, although I don't have Cameron's response to that, I'll never forget it. His answer was, well, I would have to know to which former Prime Minister the Honourable Gentleman refers. Quite an answer, eh? And unfortunately, given the rules of Westminster, the guy never got to ask a second question, but I bet it would have been a doozy. And then there was another one, another issue that I wanted to tie up, and I think I touched on it last night, talking about Arthur Scargill, who was the leader of the Miners' Union and was targeted by Margaret Thatcher. Her prime objective when she became Prime Minister was to destroy the trade union movement, but in particular this guy. And they managed to stitch him up by accusing him of stealing from the miners' pension fund and with the help of Colonel Gaddafi getting it stashed in a secret bank account in Switzerland. And everybody bought it, and we never heard any more about it. That guy's career was virtually over. He didn't have a very good public persona anyway, this fella. But unknown to a lot of people at the time, there was a journalist, and I think if my memory serves me right, because again, this story has disappeared, but I think this guy wrote for the Daily Mirror, and he went down the rabbit hole trying to suss this story out. And what he came up with about a year later, and he published this story, I think, as I say, I think it was the Daily Mirror, but not him colluding with Colonel Gaddafi. It was actually Thatcher who was importing coal from Libya. to undermine, no pun intended, but to undermine the miners. So it's just a measure of the people we're dealing with. And it's part of the reason I made certain decisions. When I knew I was coming over to Austin, Texas in 1998, I said to myself, I'm going to cut myself off from back home. I don't want to hear anything. I've had enough. The Thatcher years just annoyed the hell out of me, and I needed a break. I needed a clean break and just to completely forget about it. And I swore that I wouldn't get involved in politics over here, which I managed not to do for quite some time, but eventually kind of got sucked in. But I got involved with a movement here in Austin called Fluoride Free Austin. It was headed up by a young lady who John had on as a guest on his show a couple of months back there, a young lady called Laura Presley. And what happened, how this all came about was I'd begun to hear about Ron Paul and knowing what he was all about. And when he was running for the Republican nomination for the gig, what was it, in 2012? There was a whole bunch of people. We all used to meet up at this bookstore in Austin called Brave New Books, and we'd watch the televised debates, you know, and then we'd all have a few beers and a good natter afterwards, and it was all well and good. Well, there's a few people in amongst that crowd, one of which was young Laura Presley, and there was another couple of people who all decided to run for office in the Austin council elections. Now, one of the sitting councillors was a guy who actually used to be my old drinking buddy for years, a little honky-tonk place called Ginny's Little Longhorn. And we just kind of became friends after a while in there, and turned out we had some mutual friends. Anyway, he ran for office, got elected, so I never saw him again, because he cut off his social life from that sort of stuff. Anywho, Laura decided to run against this guy, and a young pal of mine from the Ron Paul crowd, he fancied his chances at becoming mayor, so he ran for the position of mayor. And there was a third guy, he ran for one of the council seats. So we all went into the business, we're out campaigning and what have you, and finally the day of the election came, and my pal decided he wanted to go down to this Fado Irish pub, which happened to be my old haunt. It used to be my second home, actually, for years. I used to live in that damn place. And watch the results coming in on one of the local TV stations. And we're there, and the broadcast starts, and the first kind of results come up. And about an hour later, the second round of results come up again. And something struck me as being very strange. I thought, wow, those figures haven't moved a bit except for one. There was a 1 percentage point moved in favour of Laura Presley, who was running against this guy, Mike Martinez. But the other two candidates, there was no change. And that was how it ran for the rest of the night. And I thought, wow, that's really weird. Because I'd been used to watching election coverage back home, and you go late into the night, and the BBC or ITV, whoever you happen to be watching, would go to the various constituencies around the country at various times through the night, and there'd always be a movement in the numbers. You know, you'd maybe go along at midnight and say one party had 48% of the vote, another party had 36%, and a third party had 14-15%, what have you. And you go back an hour later, and those figures might have changed quite substantially. So when I saw this, thing here, with the Austin City Council elections, I thought, wow, that is really strange. Well, of course, the difference was here they were using this computerized voting system, whereas I'd been used to watching election results being counted on paper ballots. Anywho, that was my sort of introduction to American politics. And of course, I was greatly disappointed in what happened to Ron Paul. And kind of lost interest, because the more I saw, I just thought, well, it's all corrupt. They're all bought and paid for. Sorry. Our votes really don't count. So, to this, let me see where I am before I get to... Yeah, that was it. Now, there was one other thing. Actually, I've sent a clip in to Mike there that I'll get him to play in a moment here. This was a video clip that I found, and it pertains to this politicians and their bent for paedophilia and messing with little kids. Now, this guy, his name is Tim Fortescue, lovely Tory name, and he was the chief Tory whip in the Edward Heath government. Now, a whip in the political parties back home, he's the guy or the person who's responsible for getting all the members together and being like-minded and support the leadership of the party, that kind of deal. But he's also, his position was, if any of the party members had sort of committed any indiscretions, they would come to him and ask for help. So I'll let you hear it in his own words here. It's only a very short clip. If Mike could play that, mate. While I sip my tea. You there, Mike? Yeah, please.
Anyone with any sense who was in trouble would come to the whips and tell them the truth and say, no, this, I'm in a jam. Can you help? It might be debt. It might be a scandal involving small boys or any kind of scandal which a member seemed likely to be mixed up in, they'd come and ask if we could help. And if we could, we did. And we would do everything we can, because we would store up brownie points. that sounds a pretty nasty reason, but it's one of the reasons. It's if we can get a chap out of trouble, then he'll do as we ask forevermore.
How do you like them apples, eh? It might be small boys. And in the case of those guys, it was lots of small boys. Now, there was one other item I wanted to touch on before I get into my main topic tonight. And that is a case of a young girl, a young 5-year-old English girl, who went missing while she was on holiday with her parents in Portugal. It was back in, I think it was 2007. It was quite a few years ago. And her name was Madeline McCann. I hadn't known about this. I only found out about this a few years ago. But obviously it was a very, very big story. And so this kid's been missing for years. And yet the CID, the Criminal Investigation Department of the Metropolitan Police, were still pursuing an investigation into this thing all these years later. Very, very strange. Now, talking about very strange, remember when the Pizzagate scandal broke here a couple of years back, and the Podesta brothers were featured quite prominently, if I remember correctly, and then a strange thing happened. There was something came into the story. It was a couple of artists, police artists' drawings of two people who were seen at the scene of this disappearance of this young girl in Portugal. And there was no doubt about it that these two drawings were the Podesta brothers. There was a third chap who happened to be there at the same time, a former British Liberal politician, and actually the nephew of Sigmund Freud. His name was Clement Freud, and more than likely another kiddie fiddler. And the strange thing, well, I say strange because it seems to be the norm now, never heard a dicky bird about the Podestas and that Madeline McCann thing. Nobody seemed to pick up the story and say, well, what's going on here? These two guys, what were they doing over there at the time when this little kid went missing. So, but there I found out firsthand how we're getting more and more Orwellian with trying to find honest information to share. And I tell you, quite frankly, you know, I've just started this. And boy, you need to do some work to find out some information on a subject you want to talk about. And I'll stay on this thing for a couple of minutes here, because there was another article that was published in the Guardian there a couple of days ago. And it's actually to do with the Savile expose and the BBC. And it's by a former Newsnight journalist. Newsnight is a very popular BBC News programme on BBC Two. His name was Marion Jones. Well, he still is, because he's still alive. And he claims that the corporation bosses viewed as traitors those who sought to expose the presenter's crimes or criticised its mistakes. So he's kind of going on to give us a wee story about it, and he says BBC journalists will be afraid of speaking out about the next big BBC scandal after seeing how those who tried to expose Jimmy Savile were forced out, according to the former head of investigations at Newsnight. Marion Jones said the way he and other journalists who complained about the way the BBC handled the scandal were pressured to leave. He said, we were told at the time, you won't be sacked, but over a year or 2 years, you'll realise you're being treated as an outsider and that you will never be trusted because you blew the whistle, and you will find yourself leaving of your own accord. He said, I didn't believe that, but I started watching what was going on around me. I think journalists will be afraid of speaking out. This isn't ancient history. I left in February. It looks like no lessons have been learned. So, what's fairly obvious is that there have been some very, very drastic changes made at the BBC, and it had always been a highly respected news organisation. This Panorama documentary that aired last week, that's one of the oldest shows on British television. I think it started its life in 1965, and but I've watched it. I think it aired last Wednesday, and it came on YouTube the following day. And boy, it's a stitch up, an absolute stitch up. And I'll start telling you about it. I think we have a break coming up here sometime soon, I think. But anyway, I'll go into it, and it was titled Labour Antisemitism, and it kicks off, funnily enough, with a young Jewish girl telling us that she joined the Labour Party because of her Jewish values and because of things she was taught by her family and in her synagogue. Now, that's kind of strange that someone with such strong views and values on matters like that would want to join the Labour Party, because you would imagine there's got to be rumours flying about, and people have to be talking about stuff like this, because it can't be easy to suppress. It's not very subtle being anti-Semitic, I would guess. But oh, am I hearing the break music there? Okay.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, it's a bloody merry morning, baby. Left me without warning sometime in the night. So I'm flying down to Houston with forgetting her the nature of my flight. As we taxi toward the runway with the smog and haze reminding me of how I feel. Just a country boy who's learning that the pitfalls
of the city are extremely real.
Thank you, Willie. Willie Nelson, the only guy I know who's got a kid sister who's 3 years older than him. Eh? So, Mike, is there a call from Chance there? Oh, tickety-boo, whip him through.
Hello?
How you doing, mate? Thanks for calling.
Hello, Scottish John, how are you? You mentioned that pervert, Jimmy Savile. Are you aware also that Queen in 1990 honored him with a knighthood? Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know, mate, I know all about that.
Yeah, this is why I called you, because I dug out a book I read quite a few years ago. And considering you're from that part of the world originally, Gordon Brown, do you remember him? He was implicated, too.
Yeah.
To be a pedophile. He was implicated, and the American, the British, and the Israeli intelligence services all knew about this.
Of course they do.
And they protected him. And according to the book, Lord Robertson and Lord Peter Mandelson, if you're familiar with them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, they were implicated also, along with this Gordon Brown. And there was also a pedophile ring in the Thatcher government.
Oh, good, yeah.
So it apparently, it took root in England, this disgusting behavior, for quite a long time. The reason why I brought this up to you is because you mentioned it, and you're originally from that part of the world. I just wanted to see if you were familiar with all this.
Well, yeah. I mean, back in the 80s, you may have heard me mention briefly last night that I used to do some work as a butler or a waiter. I had gone to London to try and break into the acting profession, and what a lot of people in my position did was... Oh, sorry, but... Oh. Just hang on, I'm on air. I'm on air. Oh, yeah, you did. All right, okay. Sorry, that was a certain person who I won't name had accidentally called me. Yeah, Chance, I, some of the gigs I got actually were working with the royal functions where the royal family were present. In fact, one memorable gig was the... It was the 50th birthday party for the deposed King Constantine of Greece. And I got allocated Prince Charles's table that night. And I'll never forget it because no one told me what the protocol was. And when they all came in, I poured them a glass of wine and I went and stood back away from the table. And I'm standing there looking at the table waiting to get a signal from someone that they needed more wine. And no one ever did. So I never went and topped up their wine glasses. That may have been the first night they ever sat there and only had one glass of wine. And I used to joke about it afterwards. I said, well, I couldn't see his wine glass because of his big bloody ears, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff on him, too. He belongs to some secret society. I've read in another book, some royal order. There's a lot, a lot of suspicious things about that royal family.
Well, absolutely. Do you know the one, the story about the Queen visiting that orphanage in Canada? The orphanage where they huddled the native Canadian children? They, her and her hubby, Chucky Edinburgh, as we call him, they went to visit this place and they took some children out for a picnic. And the children were never seen again.
And recently, a couple of years ago, didn't they find, I believe, dead bodies on one of the castle's properties? And that was kind of hushed up, and this was...
Yeah, that was Balmoral up in Scotland.
Balmoral, yeah. And you know what? The Queen owns thousands of acres of land in this country here.
Yep.
She owns a large portion of Manhattan, from what I've read.
Yep.
And a large portion of plantations down in south, in Mississippi. So we're talking big, big bucks here, which is surprising. Which is not surprising.
And they're trying to
tell. You're the man to speak to with things like this. I figured this is why I called you, to see if you're familiar with this, more so than other people, considering the fact that you've lived there.
Yeah. Well, I was brought up to be a supporter of the royal family because my father was what you call one of these loyalist Orangemen that I touched on last night, and I just consider myself fortunate that I didn't inherit his genes because I have no time for these people. But we live in a world where people say and do strange things. Oh, here we go.
The amber current flow over all my mind and warm my empty heart she left so cold. Whiskey river take my mind.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello? How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Oh, Lord, stay with us.
Won't you scratch my itch, sweet Annie Rich? Welcome me back to town. Come out on your porch, step into your parlor, and I'll tell you how it all went down. Out with the truckers and the kickers and the cowboy angels. A good saloon in every single town. Yes, and I remembered something you once told me, and I'd be damned if it did not come true. With 20,000
No, sorry, Mike. Yeah, I think we're back, aren't we? Sorry about that, mate. So, is Chan still there?
Yes, it is. Yes, I want to make one more point. You know who else was pretty cordial with that despicable Mr. Saval? Was Tony Blair.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And to think that despicable man Saval lived to the ripe old age of 85 years old, isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Scottish John.
Well, here, let me.
I'm gonna let you,
Let me just tell you another. You know.
Sure.
He was best buds with Margaret Thatcher. He spent Christmas with Margaret Thatcher for about 10 or 11 years.
The supposedly conservative government that all the conservatives in the United States really applauded was Margaret Thatcher. Just
I'll leave you to show you. I'll leave you with a wee funny story before you go. Okay. About 1986, I think it was, Prince Andrew and Fergie were getting married. And as a follow-up to Live Aid that happened the year before, a lot of the comedians in Britain, they started this thing called Comic Relief. Mm-hmm. And we were having like a fun run around London to try and raise money for the charity to help, you know, feed the hungry in Africa. So I went on that, and we're all running down the side of Buckingham Palace, and this popped into my head, and I started singing. And within seconds, I don't know how many hundreds of people were singing along with me. I started this little chant, and it went, "Oh, Randy Andy, Fergie can't wait for her wedding night." So I'll never forget that.
Speaking of Prince Andrew, John, he's implicated in the Jeffrey Epstein pedophile ring also, mind you. See, it never ends, doesn't it?
No. It's some kind of sickness. I don't know if it's I suspect that it is pretty much a satanic thing. But
it's satanic, yes, it is. I agree with you. And unfortunately, it goes much deeper into higher levels than most people are aware of. And with that, John, I'm going to let you go. I've taken enough of your time. And have a good show, sir.
All right, mate. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Yeah. Tell you who else, you know, Savile got a knighthood, from Thatcher and the Queen, Sir Jimmy Savile, and he got the equivalent of a knighthood from the Pope in the Roman Catholic Church. So, highly decorated, nasty, nasty man. So, I was, where was I? I was talking about this Panorama Labour Party anti-Semitism nonsense. I watched the show, and it really was really, really pathetic. They didn't do a very good job at all of putting this together. They actually featured in it a little clip of a girl and a guy at some party thing, a Labour Party deal, and some sharp-eyed viewer recognised these two from one of those Al Jazeera lobby documentaries that were made. They did one on the American government, the hidden camera thing, and they did one on the British government as well. And here's this little guy and this girl standing at their little booth talking to this woman who was actually a Palestinian supporter, and she was trying to get these people's perspectives on why they were so pro-Israel. So it was a hit piece. Because I can't imagine why, of all things, why would anyone in the Labour Party be anti-Semitic? It's just, it doesn't make any sense. And I'll get to that later, because there's like a second half to this wee story. But the Jewish girl who was the first person to speak on that thing, she talked about, you know, her family values and her Jewish values and yada, 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 and that's why she wanted to join the Labour Party. I didn't get the connection. Why the Labour Party? And what she said was the reason that it turned nasty on her was she was at a party conference handing out leaflets when someone came up and shouted abuse in her face, anti-Semitic abuse in her face. Now, that in itself is a very, very strange claim to make at a party conference. Who would come up to someone and start yelling? It's not very subtle. And also, how would this person know that this girl was Jewish? It was just garbage, absolutely garbage. They're calling the present Labour Party left wing. Well, I lived with the Labour Party growing up in Scotland. The Labour Party were the party in power. I don't know what exactly happened to them, but back in 2015, when we had a general election, the year after the failed Scottish independence referendum, which we soon found out was stolen because it was rigged. And I think the Scottish people finally realised, wait a minute, something ain't right here. And lo and behold, when they had the general election, virtually every Labour Party member in Scotland lost his seat. I think there was one guy kept his seat. And the Scottish National Party, I think they sent 56 or 58 members to Westminster. Prior to that, there'd only ever been one SNP Member of Parliament in Westminster, and that was a lady called Winnie Ewing, who I think she took her seat back in the 1970s. She just celebrated her 90th birthday there last week. Remarkable lady. But, as I say, I had cut myself off from watching what was going on back home, because I just had enough of it. But when I heard about the Scottish referendum, of course, my ears pricked up and I started to pay attention. So recently, I've been watching sometimes. I can't always watch it because it drives me nuts. But I'll watch Prime Minister's Questions in Westminster, see what's going on. And the way the Scottish National Party members are treated, they're just abused, they're treated with contempt. The way those Tories behave just turns my stomach. But they're planning a big... I won't go into it too much tonight, but there are plans afoot for a lot of disruption in Scotland, because the last thing they want is for Scotland to gain independence. They can't afford to lose Scotland financially, because it's Scottish oil and the tax on Scottish whiskey that's keeping Britain going at the moment. I'm saying keeping them going. They're up to their eyeballs in debt. Do you know another thing I found out? We now have hundreds of food banks in Britain, the fifth richest country in the world. Under the Tory party, the party of fiscal responsibility, they've doubled the national debt in the few years that they've been in power, and we have food banks. Absolutely disgusting. We also have this thing called zero hours contracts. Now, the claim that employment in Britain is just booming, it's brilliant, the employment figures have never been better. Of course, we all know they keep shifting the goalposts, but they have this thing that was new to me called zero-hours contracts. And what that means is that an employer can hire an employee and actually not have to give them any work. So instead of one worker doing a job for 40 hours a week, this employer could hire 40 people and just have them work 1 hour a week. And the employment figures look brilliant. I remember back in the 80s, you'll have to forgive me for keeping jumping back here. It's just, whenever a memory pops into my head and I think I need to tell you about it, I'll tell you about it. I had spent a couple of years working in the Philippines, because the industry that I was in had virtually gone in Britain. So I came back after 2 years, and I tried to resettle in Scotland, because I'd left Scotland... 69. Now, I couldn't find a decent job. Spent a year in doing what they call these TOPS courses, training opportunities things that ran in technical colleges, just to keep you off the dole, to keep you off the unemployment figures. Now, when I left to go to the Philippines, there was about less than 1.25 million people unemployed. When I came back, the figure was approaching 4 million. So what they started doing was shifting the goalposts. If you were unemployed for more than 6 months, they moved you off the unemployment register onto Social Security. You didn't receive unemployment benefit anymore. You received a Social Security benefit. So, boom, just at the stroke of a pen, the unemployment figures went down from 4 million back down to about 2 million. Brilliant, eh? Brilliant. I remember actually going down to London for a job interview, which, strangely enough, was out in Hong Kong. So I'll go down to London on an overnight train, go and have the job interview at about noon, something like that. So I've got the rest of the day to spend while I wait for the overnight train back up to Scotland. So I think, well, what will I do to pass the time? I know what I'll do. I'll go and sit in the public gallery in the House of Commons and listen to what's going on. And it just so happened at that particular day, the Chancellor of the Exchequer was giving a mid-term report on his budget. And I'll never forget this day. I'll never forget it. He stood up and he said, Britain was witnessing an economic miracle. Well, I had an instinctive response to that. And I kind of blurted out something that I shouldn't have said. I said to him, are you effing kidding? Well, I was politely escorted out of the building. I wasn't arrested or charged with anything, thankfully, but it was just instinctive. It wasn't planned. But for him, that's the measure of these people. An economic miracle is when millions of people are out of work. So, anywho, I watched this thing. Oh, sorry about that. Where's my notes here? This is something that most journalists report and seem to have the. Yeah, this was another thing. When this journalist on the BBC was asking these people, talking to these people about the anti-Semitism thing in the Labour Party, and they would give him a response. He would never say anything like, well, could you give me an example? Could you give me any evidence of such and such? And he never did that. He just let them say, well, this happened and that happened, and he never followed up. Never followed up. They brought into it, actually, an old episode of a guy. His name was Ken Livingstone, member of the Labour Party for years, and he became Lord Mayor of London. Well, not Lord Mayor, I beg your pardon. He became Mayor of London back in the day. And I was a big fan of his. I always liked that guy. He had a great personality, you know, quite a chirpy wee fella. Always quite witty. Well, he made some comments about how Hitler, I don't really want to use the word colluded, but he kind of worked with the Jews in Germany back in the 1930s. He came to power in 1932, and he adopted the policy that the Jews should be moved to Palestine. Well, in fact, I've studied that subject quite a lot, and that decision was actually taken long before Adolf Hitler is tagged it. Well, this guy, Ken Livingstone, he actually made this remark. Well, he was vilified for this, and he was kicked out of the Labour Party. And this, what's at the centre of all this, and it's the same here, as exposed in these lobby documentaries, is the influence and the power that the Israeli lobby seems to have over not only our governments, but it seems to be lots of other Western European governments. And I don't know why that is. It's something very insidious, I think. And as I say, I sort of stumbled upon this thing by accident about 5 years ago. I just found a documentary on my Facebook page, actually. And I think the title was the Holocaust authentic, or is it genuine, or something like that? And I thought, oh, that looks interesting. I'd never questioned the Holocaust. I'd never had any reason to question it. So I sat and I watched this thing, and it turned out to be the first part of a two-parter documentary, which lasted in total about 3 hours. Well, that was a head-scratcher after I'd watched it. So then I started kind of studying this thing and looking for other information. And it turns out, yeah, there's a lot of questions to be asked about this. Varying figures on the amount of people who died there. Were 6 million Jews gassed to death? I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so. And lots of other people have said the same thing. And now we see what's happening, because you can't question things like that, because you're branded an anti-Semite. So, it kind of got me to where I started seeing what was going on in, I say, Palestine, what's left of Palestine. And it's something that it's just come very, I don't know, it's just become something that I feel very strongly about, because I see it on a daily basis. There is always stuff being posted. There are various pro-Palestinian groups with Facebook pages. And as every day of my life, I see videos of how these people are treated by the Israeli soldiers there. And it's horrible, absolutely horrible. And it's been going on now for, what, 71 years? And nothing's ever done about it. And why is that? Anyway, I hear the music there, I think.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This morning it was drizzling rain. Around the curb come a passenger train. Heard somebody yodel and a hobo moan. Jimmy, he dead, he's been a long time gone. Been a long time gone. A long time gone.
Way more.
Hank Jr.'s old buddy, Mr. Walk Towards You, Waylon Jennings. Yeah. So I believe we got a call here from Ed in Chicago. Are you there, Ed?
I am, John.
Good man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and welcome aboard. I used to hear you call in on Herzog, you know, a while back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was very intrigued with your comments. And anyway, I just wanted to, you brought up the, you know, the whole Holocaust thing. And like you said, I would have never questioned it, but now I am. It's very interesting that one documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that one?
Yes, I have, actually. Yeah. Been a while, but yeah.
And like my wife here, she tells me, "Shut up. Your dad was there. He saw it. My dad was. He just died. He was 95 years old. He just died last March. And you know, he was there, D-Day lander, and you know, march across Europe, Battle of the Bulge, and all that good stuff. Good mm-hmm. stuff. and you know, it's like taboo to question. But now I am. You know. I
yeah.
Mean, and it's like seems like. It seems like the bigger the lie, the more they can.
Well, yeah. If you're gonna tell a lie, make it a big one and keep telling it, because the more you tell it, people will eventually believe it. Yeah?
Exactly.
There you go. And, listen, Ed, I've got one more caller to fit in here, please call back again. Thanks for calling in. I'm sorry we've never had more time, okay? But I've got Sammy on the line here. We've just got time, Sammy.
Hi, John. Welcome to RBN. I'm really glad to hear you on air. I've heard you call in a few times and always find you really interesting. Also, a fellow Scotsman.
Aye.
And we have a lot in common. But
good
we
man.
We can cover that another time. But I just want to say, by speaking about what happened in the Second World War, allegedly to the Jews. I mean, you're touching the third rail, but that's what everybody on air needs to do right now, because the reason that they are so protective of the truth regarding those events is because if the truth actually does come out, they will be finished. And that's why they are desperate right now to cover that up. And that's what everybody needs to be talking about. It doesn't make you a hateful person or an anti-Semite. All it
absolutely,
is
mate.
The search for the truth. And it's as simple as that.
Well, listen, do me a favor.
Everyone that's willing,
call back in tomorrow night, because we're out of time here, man. Lovely to hear your voice. Call back in tomorrow night, please, and we'll continue this conversation. All right?
Okay, as Alan Watts said, us Scots have an allergy to tyranny. Good night.
Beautifully put. All right, I think it's just about time for me to say good night, and we'll see you tomorrow. The new, the next, and tomorrow. All right, all the best.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.